KUJZ is 95.3 The Score. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What I win?
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Hey! Friday. A regular kind of Friday. A December Friday. No game to prep for. Well, no game to cover. A lot of games to watch. There's a lot of NFL. There's a lot of NBA. There's baseball news. We got things going on. Weirdest tweet I've seen from Antonio Brown a little bit ago. So somebody tweets at him. His Twitter handle's at AB84. Just want to see you play the game, even though he's a Raider fan. Love seeing you play. Put this mess behind you and go ball out. And he responds to the guy, I rap now. I don't play children's games. Grow up. What? This young man needs somebody to step in and say, okay. Right. Am I your friend? Yeah. Do you trust me? Yeah. Come on. We have to go for a ride. He needs to go speak to somebody. I don't say this lightly, but that's erratic behavior. Somebody on Twitter. Oh, by the way, two things first. I didn't even hear this last night, and it was in today's sports section of The Guard. So the Associated Press voted Mario Cristobal the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. Oh, cool. All right. Congratulations. I just looked at the sports section about 10 minutes ago for the first time, and I was like, did I read that right? Yeah, you did. Marcus Arroyo introduced as the new coach of the Las Vegas Running Rebs. And, of course, one of the big questions since the win on Friday, a week ago, down in Santa Clara to clinch the title, since the rumor Monday, the confirmation Tuesday that the now in transition, can't call him a former coach, he's still the offensive coordinator, and he's got two jobs. Does he get two paychecks? Would he coach in the Rose Bowl? And he was asked by the Vegas media. And the new coach answered that he was fully 2 feet in, but would finish out the season with the Ducks. You know, with this new early signing period, which I get mental blocks. It's like people explain things to me, and if I find it less than scintillating, there's a part of my brain that goes to Kembe Mutombo, no, and swats it. When I hear about recruiting, I say, whoa, sorry. I got to slap myself a couple times. So where it is now, and by the way, I in no way belittle it. It is critical. It's the life's blood of a program. I just can't. I just can't get too engaged. Once I get the list and somebody says, so what do you think? Well, yeah, well, he's a 4-star and he played high school here and he played 2 sports and he's a track star. Probably
high school. That's a good start.
Right. Well, not 100% of the recruits play high school ball. Some, you know, you get soccer guys come in and kick field goals, I guess.
You get JUCO guys. Maybe they just put their college stuff down.
Right. So the thing is, did Arroyo, he's clearly not a Seinfeld fan. Because he would have went out on, he'd have been Costanza and got out on a high note. I mean, that was a brilliant game plan. Really well executed. Won a conference title. I'm out of the contest. Somebody said that's a good thing that he's coaching.
Tannenism.
Because if somebody, one of the assistants filled in and they played a good game against Wisconsin. Almost forgot what they were playing. Because a lot of people I've spoken with are like, probably not all that familiar with the offensive staff. I mean, everybody's new. It's like, why would you not capitalize on this idea to see the tentacles of the Oregon brand? And I kind of agree with that. So Arroyo coaches one more time. So if you've got thoughts, if you've got ideas, if you're just lonely and you'd like to talk, the Oregon, yeah, that's why Nick's here. A lot of people think he has a job. He's just bored. He wandered in one day and said, can I just sit and talk? And he just hasn't left.
Every day I just walk up to the front. I'm like, yeah, I'm bored again.
I'm back.
Steve need help? I'll do it. I got you.
All right. Well, it's good to have you here. And you work cheap. First of all, wow, I can't believe I didn't open with this. So you're going about your business, and all of a sudden, I get a notification on my phone. David Stern suffered a brain hemorrhage. I mean, there hasn't been an update. I mean, he was in a Midtown restaurant, 2 o'clock yesterday, obviously Midtown Manhattan. Well, not obviously, but it was. And there was a 911 call, and they went to Mount Sinai Medical Center. And so far, there hasn't been an update, which makes me really scared. Had to undergo emergency surgery. And so if I said, I think you can break up the sports we follow, you know, like in baseball with the Hall of Fame now, they've got the modern era and the Veterans Committee and then on and on and on and on. Would I be accurate to say the world changed 40 years ago with ESPN? It's just like, okay, now there's a place we could all play. That's all they do is talk about sports. You don't have to, you know, it used to be turn on the 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and you went through the news and the weather and the local feature and sports coming up next. And you're like, well, if you wanted to watch the highlights, that's what you had to catch. Then you got things like George Michael's Sports Machine, maybe on a Sunday night. And, you know, you'd get to This Week in the NFL in the early 70s with Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire. So I was trying to think, is there a more influential or important commissioner who oversaw the NBA during a very down time? And when David Stern took over, the league had a drug problem, it had an image problem, it had a TV contract problem. I mean, you know, people complain about when games are on. Well, how about tape delay for the championship round? Think about that for a minute. Warriors are playing LeBron and the Cavs, and it's not on live, but catch it later on replay.
The only good thing about that was that there was no way to have it spoiled for you unless there was some person that you just absolutely despised or someone who despised you on the East Coast gave you a call and then they told you the final score. Just ruined
but
it for you.
You had to remember also back then, if you called the West Coast, it could have cost you like $4.
I'd
say you'd have to pay to be a miserable SOB.
I mean, I think there would people that would do it. You're telling me you wouldn't call people that you don't like out here from the East Coast for $4?
Well, when I lived back east, I knew like 4 people out here, and they were family and friends, and I really liked them. I'll tell you what, though, along those lines, from those days, and when we first had people who owned VCRs, and we would record the Met or the Yankee game, and then so instead, wherever we were, I mean, you can go to a bar and not find out the score, and then on the way home, put in a cassette or an 8-track so you didn't hear the radio, and literally hustle to a guy's house, pop the tape in, and watch the game and not have any idea what the outcome was. It was an effort.
When you really think about it, the VCR is like in-home piracy that everybody could get away with. Like, that's piracy. You're taking something...
If you sold it.
Well, I mean, still, but you're taking something that's on the television, you're recording it, and then you're able to distribute it out? I mean, that's pirate, even like not selling it. Like you think the Pirate Bay with music and all of the things that they have, shows and whatever that's on there, that's all put out for free, and that's piracy. Like if you pirated sports shows off of a VCR.
But it was legal because we didn't make a profit off it.
Well, I know, but
and it wasn't just me.
I'm not saying it. I know.
I feel like you're trying to pin VCRs on
no,
me.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking the idea of the VCR is piracy. Like, that's what it is when you think it. Like, looking back on it, wow, yeah, you can think it's great. The ability to, I can set my TV to start a recording at a certain time. I can fast forward through commercials. I can stop the recording when the commercials are going and start them as they're coming back again. And then if somebody, like my parents, I think that's how they watched, like, some seasons of Survivor and The Sopranos back in the day because they didn't have HBO. Somebody was like, oh, yeah, I taped all the episodes. Here you go. That's piracy. Hey, we were all just living like pirates until TiVo came along, and they're like, "Look, you can, okay, you can do the same thing, but now it's all digital, and you can't
TiVo,
share.
By
it,
the way,
you can't share it as easily."
Didn't he win a Heisman Trophy at Florida?
Jeez.
At the end of
it, no, señor.
So, at the end of the day. Are we all Jamie Foxx and horrible bosses? That's what he went to jail for, piracy, for selling a movie that he recorded? Or did you not see that movie because it's over 3 years ago?
I have seen that
movie. Okay.
I've seen movies. I don't go to the movie theater. I've seen movies. Jeez.
So
judgmental and negative.
On Twitter, someone printed a sheet. Who was the guy? Oh, at Alex Stimson retweeted it. So there was a sheet of all 30 Major League Baseball teams' logos, but they said this would be the opposite. I don't know. Did you see this thing?
I did. Mic on helps. I did see this, yes.
It was really interesting because, so I'll put it to you this way. The opposite of the Kansas City Royals was the Kansas City Peasants. I don't know why this amused me to no end.
This came from Reddit, the baseball subreddit on Reddit, where during the off season it is mass chaos as to baseball adjacent topics that can be talked about, things that you've always wanted to ask. You know, if Mike Trout was an angel, how much better at baseball would he be? You know, all sorts of random questions. And so one of the users came up with a post yesterday: franchise power rankings by their inverted team name. And at the bottom was the Los Angeles Roadkill, who are the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That's amazing.
They did not do the dodging. All the way up to the Los Angeles Demons of Anaheim.
Yeah, the one that was also pretty cool. What's the opposite of the Oakland A's? The Oakland Z's.
Yes, right at the end.
When did red and green become opposite? Because the Cincinnati are the Greens, and the Boston Red Sox are the Boston Green Hats.
That's got to be a color wheel thing.
I would assume so. And I'll tell you, there's some pretty clever ones here. The Minnesota Twins are the Minnesota Only Children.
That's a good one. Yeah, it is on the color wheel. So red and green are on opposite sides.
The opposite end of the color spectrum.
They are, yes, indeed.
Wow.
The one that got me was the Toronto Blue Jays that then became the Toronto Red W.
Yeah. Jays, I could see if they were the Toronto Blue L's. I don't know if it's my favorite one, but the Yankees, the New York Yankees, are the New York Dixies. Which, yeah. You know, if you've ever watched Yosemite Sam, he always talks about them dar Yankees.
Also, the Tampa Bay Irwins.
Yeah, is that mean?
Isn't
that the dude that got Steve Irwin, stabbed
yes.
by a stingray?
Stabbed, shot in the heart, and the needle.
That might be slightly
too soon. Also, incredibly funny. Because it's wrong. Funny because it's insensitive. Kind of things. It's been like 15 years, 16 years since he's died.
I have no idea. The Seattle Mariners. Nope. Seattle Landlubbers. The Cleveland Indians. Cleveland Cowboys. The Giants, the Dwarves.
13 years since Steve Irwin died.
Ooh, woof.
Yeah.
The Washington Nationals are the Washington Locals. That's a good one.
I love that. So
what about the White Sox are just the hats?
Well, you think socks go on your feet. What's the most opposite thing
Shouldn't
on
it
your
be black hats? White socks, black hats?
Ooh, yeah, what are... Huh. Interesting. But I do get that the opposite of the thing that you put on your feet, the most opposite
right,
part of
that.
Of your body, is the hats.
So the Nationals are the locals. The Orioles were the cats. So the opposite of a bird is a cat. I see that, but is they're not the birds. I mean, they go. Their nickname is kind of the Big Bad Birds from Baltimore.
Yeah, well, St. Louis is the same thing, because like a cardinal, and then maybe do you go
falcon?
Like bishop or something? Like maybe cardinals
are just...
But
they call them the falcons.
Maybe they're just inherently weak birds that just do some chirping that are... They're just red, and then you think
cool
of the falcon is a much cooler bird.
Yeah, the other good one, the Padres are the nuns.
Very good. Padres also would have been very funny.
The Atlanta Braves are the Atlanta Cowards, which isn't bad. And for those out there, the Chicago Cubs, affiliate of your Eugene Emeralds, what's the opposite of a cub? They deemed them the Chicago Kodiaks, so a really big bear. Somebody's disagreeing that the A's should be the Z's. It should be the Oakland. I'm not sure where this is going, and I'm not sure I'm comfortable saying this. So,
oh, you had asked on Twitter as well about the Brewers, the opposite
yeah,
of
yeah,
beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What the heck is that?
The teetotalers. Teetotalers?
Ah. Teetotalers. Very good. Yeah. And the Phillies are the burgers. So instead of a Philly steak, I guess, a Philly burger?
Yeah, so the guy who did the drawing also posted it on Reddit, and he exclaimed, the Phillies font is, like, copyrighted. He said he was sleepy, and it was late, and he wasn't, like, got kind of tired. They were at the bottom of the list. But I think he thought it Phillies, like Phil, and then the burglars, as in you take something away, maybe?
It was a burger, not a burglar?
Well, according to the original post, they're the burgers, B-U-R-G-H-E-R-S. So from Phillies to burgers.
All right, I'm really confused.
Yeah, it was at the bottom of the original power rankings to begin with. A couple of these are a little too high based on, you know, my liking of them. The Arizona Shovels instead of the Diamondbacks, very strong. The logo was fantastic.
Well, yeah, but a Diamondback is a snake. Isn't yeah. I know what they're talking about, but the Diamondbacks are referred to as a snake. So what would be the opposite of a snake?
Well, I think you generally kill snakes with shovels.
With the shovel, that's... The Miami Marlins was a fisherman. The opposite of a fish, I guess, is a fisherman. And the Astros were the House Geos, which is Earth versus Space, which I guess is the opposite there. So you could go, if you're on Twitter, at Ferd Burfel, F-E-R-D-B-U-R-F-E-L, offered some explanations and the list. And it was different. I'll tell you what. I like a little different on a Friday. You're doing very well. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What?
The Rockies are the prairies.
All right, the Rockies are the prairies. I can't believe I left that one out. I mean, I went through every one, and I did too much research for something that, for a couple of laughs, I guess it's worth it. But, yeah, it really caught me. It was interesting. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, how about this? The powers that be at Major League Baseball. Now, this was from yesterday, but it was later, and I don't think we touched on it. Major League Baseball will start testing for opioids and cocaine, but only players who do not cooperate with their treatment plans get subject to discipline. Marijuana is removed from the list and will be treated the same as alcohol.
This is actually something I touched on during all three of my updates yesterday. Thank you for listening to those, just as you did not listen to me during the tweet of the day on Wednesday.
Yeah, was that Will Brinson?
Yes.
Forever. Every time I think of Will Brinson, I'll think of, I need to ignore Nick more.
Les, you need Les. I'm right here.
Marijuana suspension dropped from the minor league drug program. Opioids now classified as a drug of abuse. And by the way, I didn't realize this has been going on since 2002. And so a lot kicked in, and this, I guess, effort started to have somewhat sharper teeth with the tragedy involving the death of Tyler Skaggs, the LA Angel pitcher, who died July 1st. And when the medical examiner released the autopsy, they said the 27-year-old who died choking on his vomit because of a mix of alcohol and painkillers, fentanyl and oxycodone. And so, you know, that is an epidemic in this country. So Major League Baseball, a little bit ahead of the curve. I mean, that is not a phrase people who do shows like this get to say very often. But they did it. And you got to give credit where it's due. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So our show today, we have features. I've got three tool shed worthy nominees, 345. Our buddy Terry Johns, the voice of Oregon State women's basketball, who should be making his way to his hotel room in Long Beach, I assume. How far is Long Beach from L.A.? That's a bit of a hike, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, because I remember the 1979 Richard Pryor special said that, L.A., people, if they got calls from their friends who were in jail, Long Beach, man, we ain't coming to bail your ass out of Long Beach. So that must have been an annoying trip away. So we'll talk with Terry Johns at 4:30. At 4:45, courtesy of our favorite new sports app from the Oregon Lottery, we'll have Steve and Nick's three pick. At 5:10, Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Network will check in and talk about the Ducks and winning the conference championship and Coach Cristobal. Oregon State had some questions about the Utah program, as well as, he was a coach for a while at Southern Cal, so Clay Helton and SC, a topic for sure. So WMT, very many things to discuss. I do want to delve a little bit deeper into the role of the commissioners and what David Stern accomplished, and kind of keeping the fingers crossed as all the warmth and accolades have come in, especially when Ernie Johnson was talking to the panel last night, literally Kenny the Jet, Shaq, Barkley, David Stern took over. I mean, he was the commissioner, the only commissioner for the entirety of all of their careers. So they knew from the new TV deal, expansion, the implementation of the Dream Team, and all that he did to grow this game, not just here in the States, but obviously an incredible international level when you think of, guys like Yao Ming and Manu Ginobili, Dirk Nowitzki, all the great players who were born outside the U.S. Like Tim Duncan wasn't born in the continental United States. I believe he was St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, if memory serves. All right. With that said, before we take a break, I have a really good idea. Don't pay full price. Pay half. You'd really go far in life. You know what it is. It's our sweet deal. You can go to our website, 953thescore.com, click on the sweet deal link, save half price on local area businesses. And starting this coming Tuesday, it's going to be restaurant week. So actually Monday, you could do it. There you go. I could count days of the week with the best of them. Sushi Soul. And you can get the details on the sweet deal link, 953thescore.com. Check it out. Sweet deals, 953thescore. All right, break time. We'll be back with, got some NFL I want to get through. How about them Jets? we'll be back with an update and more, 953thescore.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Do you guys realize how flawed your system is when the chief decision makers can't see that what they have to do is change the way they look at it, not change the guy coming into the system? All the Ravens had to do was slightly change the way they looked at it, and now the rest of the league is trying to catch up and can't.
Dan Levitard talking about Lamar Jackson and that they didn't reinvent the wheel. They just were like, well, so we have this guy. Let's do this differently. And it worked out. By the way, the whole, did he play great or was it the Jets? I'm sorry, he's great. Yeah, we know they're the Jets.
Did the guy we gave the MVP to 3 weeks ago play great, or did he actually just have a good game because he was playing
a bad
defense?
Some of his throws they made. Oh, my God. A couple of those throws. That one throw, were we still here when it was in the sideline in the end zone where
that
it like was
the Jets. That was
Darnold made that throw. So the other one he made where he dropped that dime in the back of the end zone. And man, I'll tell you what, that brought me, as we welcome you to Crunch Time. Well, welcome you back. We've actually done a half hour already.
Been playing for a while. 32 and a half minutes and 10 seconds.
All right. Yeah. First of all, I always make fun of the mock drafts. We mock the mocks. And, you know, especially the guy who will do the NFL draft all 7 rounds, which is such a waste of time.
Oh, no, that one is too far. The best ones are the mock drafts with trades. Mock trades.
Oh,
that
right.
The best mock draft.
Does anybody ever do a full MLB mock draft?
I don't think
like
you could.
Like 1,000 people.
You couldn't. No. You can't make up that many names. There's no way. No, but the best NFL mock drafts are the one where every pick is a trade. Every single. It's the most fun I've had reading a mock draft article because it's just 32 teams that are making trades with everybody else.
Well, at least
else.
The guy's having fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the most absurd thing. They're just like, oh, let's just see if there's a trade here. Well, that would make a trade there, and we'll just do a trade there. And we're just going to start with it. You know what? Everybody's making a trade. That's the best article of the year.
I'll tell you what. The guy who seriously does a multi-round mock draft is out of his mind. He needs to seek professional help. Because if you're spending that much time thinking what the Texans are going to do in the 4th round at pick number 146, you're nuts.
So how do you do that? Because you have to have the list of teams and what order they pick in. It's not just, you know, the same 1 through 32 order. You've got your competitive balance picks that come into play.
Do you go team by team and pick first they need this, second they need that, third they need this?
But because you would think, like, you get their numbers, you kind of know what they're looking for, but then you have to constantly be comparing them to other teams and who's picking around them.
That's crazy.
I think you have to go 1 through 256.
It's pointless.
Oh, boy.
Because we see sometimes that you think you have the top 10 figured out, and then the Bears trade up for Trubisky, and everything's ruined. Our day was ruined.
But can you imagine, you do the full mock draft, and then you hit one in the 4th round that you got exactly right?
Told ya!
Oh! That, like, you could...
You guys made fun of me.
Ask for a raise, ask for another week of vacation. One of the two. Just say, look, I got that one right. One in the 4th round, exactly right.
Yeah, but then somebody has to point out that the other 234 they got wrong.
No. You don't bring up the wrongs at that point.
That's
you
all
say,
I'm
look, this is it. You talk about the odds, the probability that this would happen. Who's going? You know, all of the things that happened before then that changed all the probabilities and all the numbers. It was almost infinitely impossible for this to happen, and I got it.
So
I would
that
like
guy
14 days of vacation instead of 10
on. During draft time, the guy who does the full mock, do his friends just ignore him and shut their phones off because they don't want to hear on the middle of the day Saturday him say, I told you the Texans were taking Grayland Arnold, the safety from Baylor, with the 147th pick?
See, I don't think they're... the mock drafts are never like random guy does mock draft. Like that's not what the mock draft is. NFL insider, guy who covers the NFL, does mock draft. That person's friends are other NFL people that would be able to appreciate.
Are we
sure? I would think so. I mean, maybe you're sending off not every time you get one wrong to your buddies, but even your other friends would be able to be like, wow, you got a fifth round, a fourth round pick right, dead on, right guy to the right team at that number? That's incredible. Congratulations.
I could sense the eye rolls on the other end of those phones and texts.
I mean, they wouldn't. If it was me, I would expect my friends to kind of bust my balls about that. But if it's a guy who, you know, like this is his job to do this and he gets one right, congratulations. You did a good job. Nothing wrong with being a little positive every now and then, you know?
Here's my theory. Is anything more ridiculous than that, doing the multi-draft mock, or is it this, the guy on ESPN who just went through all 40 bowl games and ranked them from most to least entertaining before they're played?
Yeah, that's correct.
How do you know?
Well, you read the names. How excited are you to watch that bowl game?
Well, that's excited, but you can't tell me how exciting the game is going to be.
Well, okay, yeah.
How excited were people in 2000 for the third ever BCS championship game, and it ended up being 13-2?
Probably very excited. But yeah, when you look at everything with your 50-50 hindsight, as John Gruden likes to say, yeah, it's very easy to say, oh, wow, you messed that one up, you big idiot. But just, you know, ahead of time, your anticipation building, how exciting is this game going to be? And then you got to watch the game to see if this guy was right or wrong or not. And then you're just watching a whole bunch of college football during the holidays when you don't want to be talking to your family anyways.
Well, actually, the thing is, I was being kind of a ball breaker myself. He does it tongue in cheek. Because listen to this one. At 40, he has the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, Wyoming versus Georgia State. And if this isn't the most brilliant synopsis in the history of football.
Wait, I don't believe you. You had to have made up those teams in that bowl game. I don't believe you.
So there's no Wyoming anymore. That's not where Josh Allen
I believe
went.
In Wyoming. I'm not sure about
Drizzell,
the rest of the bowl
game. Georgia State to the NCAA tournament. So he says, in week one, Wyoming beat Missouri and Georgia State beat Tennessee. So the winner of this game is officially the third best team in the SEC East.
He's not wrong.
I'm sorry. That's really clever.
He's not wrong.
And the reason it caught my attention is because after the Big Six, you know, the major bowls, not the major bowls, the playoffs. Sorry, my bad. He says the third most entertaining game of bowl season is going to be Oregon-Wisconsin. And I'll tell you what, have you spoken to anyone who actually knows and was being serious and isn't like, that should be a really good game? So it's going to be a dud.
I've only talked to all of my friends who 45 seconds after the bowl game ended, I was getting messages, are you going? Can we go? Who's going? I'm buying my tickets. I'm looking into flights right now. Let's go. Let's do this. Why haven't tickets come out yet? So I haven't, you know, gone out on the street and asked people how excited they are for Oregon to be playing in the Rose Bowl. My worldview is currently just through that of my friends and
a
how
prism.
Obsessed.
Yeah. It's a good luck in prism. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
That was a really good one.
Somebody has been tweeting with Fentress and I because we got into this whole Husky troll thing, and somebody deadpan serious and said it again. 1991 Huskies are the greatest team ever. That's it. That's the end. Not 1930 Notre Dame or 94 Nebraska. Could anybody actually believe that you can convince anyone that there's a greatest college football team ever?
Yeah, because people try it all the time. It's what ESPN's been running on Wednesdays when there's been no football on for the past month. It's the 150 greatest things ever that have ever happened in college football. Yes, there are people that are trying to figure out the best team of college football ever.
If I forget this, I'm never going to forgive myself.
Oh, boy.
So there are two things they're going to have on NFL tonight, the 100 best NFL players ever. Off the top of your head, how many do you think you could get? I bet you I can get 70% of them.
What? You can just list off just like this.
I bet you I can. I should do that. I mean, there's obvious ones. I mean, you're going to get Montana and Brady and Peyton and Favre and, you know.
Favre?
But, oh, top 100 ever? Absolutely.
How many quarterbacks are on this list?
Yeah, 98. It's a quarterbacks league, Nick.
Eli's 101.
I mean, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice.
Dallas Cowboy Emmitt Smith or Arizona Cardinal Emmitt Smith?
Florida Gator Emmitt Smith.
Didn't play in the NFL. That does not count. He will not be on
the list. He will not be on the NFL list.
Yeah, make that your homework then. To record the show, don't watch it, but write down all 100 players that I can't even currently name 100 people in the NFL, so there's no way I'm doing this. Plus, you're incorporating the last 100 years of the NFL.
You know where it's going to get hard?
Offensive line. Yeah,
so you're going to have to go John Hanna, Anthony Munoz. Is Tony Baselli going to be on the list? Orlando Pace on the great Raiders like Mike Webster of the Steelers will probably. But then again, now you've got all those positions and do you get five offensive linemen on there? You know, what do you do with the wide receiver position? It's like, how old are they going to go like Don Hudson? You know, like the original great receiver.
Jerry Rice, Randy Moss.
Rice is probably.
End of list.
Rice and Moss, I would lock in. No question about it. Lawrence Taylor, I would lock in. Dick Butkus, I would lock in. Ronnie Lott, I would lock in. Is Mike Singletary going to be on the list? Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, Amin Joe Green, for sure. So this could be fun. And from last night on Twitter, I wanted to, and I don't want to expand the, you know what? It's your money. Do what the hell you want. Three active players, I guess, in paying homage to your love for the beautiful game of soccer, you can include Messi or somebody like that. Three current athletes that you have never seen in person that you would pay good money to see. And I was like, is Lamar Jackson already on this list? Because that guy is fun till his daddy takes the T-Bird away. I could watch that dude play a lot. And I figured the one thing that I sacrificed and didn't realize it at the time is doing this and living here for 30 years, I've missed out on a lot of great pros because I used to see them all. From late 60s, you know, I saw Russell and Chamberlain and Kareem in person multiple times. I mean, who were the great baseball players of that era? I mean, I saw Mays and Aaron and Mantle and Pete Rose and Clemente and Seaver and all those guys in the NFL. You know, obviously grew up, saw LT play in person a million times. You know, all the great Raiders teams of, you know, I saw the Steel Curtain in person, all those great teams. But since I've been out here, you know, I've never seen LeBron play in person, which seems stupid. One phone call, one text or email, I could have gone to see him anytime since 2003. I think I'm going to make it my business to do that. I did see Kobe play. So Magic play Bird bunch of times. Not a bunch, but, you know, six or seven times at the Garden. But, for you folks, we're going to go to a break. But, text me, 3210824. Who are maybe three guys that you would absolutely pay big bucks to see? And there are no parameters. You set them. It's your money. It's your time. All right. We'll take a break. And upon our return, it's tool shed time next. 95.3 The Score.
Crunch time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
By defrauding the plan and treating it like their own personal ATM, sadly, the defendants placed the plan's tax-exempt status at risk and threatened the ability of law-abiding former players to continue to receive tax-free reimbursements for legitimate medical expenses for themselves or their families.
Yeah, that gentleman's name is Brian Benzowski. He's the Assistant Attorney General prosecuting that fraud case which we will get into shortly, involving former players Joe Horn and Clinton Portis. Just, it's brutal, man. This is just despicable. Welcome back, Crunch Time 95.3, The Score. It's that time on a Friday. Break out the emojis and acronyms, because some people in sports just don't get they're not aware of, you know, digital footprints or recording devices. It's called the Crunch Time Toolshed. Before we roll out the nominees, however, let's bring in the man with the key and open the toolshed.
I love this city. I love being a Yankee.
And we'll start with Joe Horn, Clinton Portis, and the rest of the scandalized former players. So, with all we've learned about the long-term horrors of playing football and how much fighting has gone on in the courts to get the guys who laid the groundwork for the current NFL players, literally pieces of their bodies and brains scattered on gridirons around the country, these slime balls decide, well, here's an opportunity to concoct a scheme, and they're among a dozen defendants accused of filing more than $3.9 million in fraudulent claims, taking the money from a health care plan meant to help former teammates and other retired players. This is not a petty suit. This is the Department of Justice handling this case in the Eastern District of Kentucky. In the case of Portis, well, his lack of character, not surprising, considering his quote after the Michael Vick dogfighting ring came to light with his, well, he should be able to do what he wants because it's his property. And this is just disgusting. Former Giants cornerback Janoris Jenkins. And I say former because he's now former. He was injured not practicing Wednesday, so he's on the sideline instead of, you know, doing his job, watching his teammates or watching, well, you know, what the coaches were coaching. Nope. He was on social media getting into it with a fan because, you know, what a fan of an NFL team has to say on Twitter really impacts your health and the game plan, especially for a two-win team. So he tweeted out some statistics he felt favored his status, which is, you know, pretty selfish to begin with, especially when you're losing that big. But in responding to the fan, he used the R word. I'm not going to say it. I hate it. But the last three letters sound like ARD. And instead of admit how offensive he was, he said, just slang. It's part of my culture. What? So the Giants said, well, here's a new culture. You're released for refusing to acknowledge the language was inappropriate and offensive. So your slang cost you an NFL job. Brilliant. Last, PGA pro golfer Tommy Gainey. So when you think of pro golfers, you probably default to Tiger, Phil, Sergio, or Nick's favorite, whose name he always makes fun of.
Bruce Koepka?
Yes. I just wanted to hear you say it one more time. It's been a while. But what you might want to think of him more along the lines of Patriot owner Robert Kraft. Why? Well, he just got arrested in Bartow, Florida. Did he get a Dewey? Nope. Did he not pay his taxes? Nope. Just your run-of-the-mill legal violation, running afoul of the law? Nope. Dude was picked up as part of a major sting that encapsulated, get this, 124 defendants.
Whoa.
Prostitution and human trafficking. Ah. Now, this ain't funny. You listen to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. By the way, this is the nickname they came up with. It was called Operation Santa's Naughty List. I'm not making this up for effect. This is for real. And this dude is known as Tommy Two Gloves because he wears golf gloves on both hands. And now, the 44-year-old who turned pro in 1997 is facing first-degree solicitation. And as the local sheriff said, he's going to be unable to make his tee time tomorrow. He's a scratch. So I got to tell you, that's we haven't had three real worthy the inductees or nominees, I should say, in a while. But for pro football players who had long careers and were teammates with these guys and have seen the horrific long-term damage, I'm going to have to go with Clinton Portis, Joe Long, and these scandalized players because that's a pretty low level of despicable. So with that thought in mind, before we abandon ship, let's bring him back out again to close the Crunch Time Tool Shed.
My only focus is to play baseball, the right way. That was silly and unprofessional.
He gone!
So, well done there. We've got a couple minutes left. In the 4 o'clock hour, we've got some fun things left. We'll talk with Terry Johns from Southern California, ready for tomorrow's Oregon women's game against Long Beach State, who, by the way, the Golden State Warriors, I love when they just have the city. Long Beach State, if you followed them, they've had some decent hoops teams. Probably some of you follow their college baseball team. When they break out just the beach, that's pretty cool. So they've got that going for them, which is nice. We'll talk to Terry Johns at 4:45, courtesy of our friends at the Oregon Lottery, the new sports app, which we're having an awful lot of fun with. Nick and I will roll out the Steve and Nick 3-pick. Just past 5 o'clock, my conversation with Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network. We'll have your tweet of the day. By the way, we don't talk about the tweet of the day enough until it happens. So at Sports Talk 953 for me, at 953 the score for the station, at Rick Nodgers. See how clever, see
that,
how
that would
witty
be for me.
You could be.
You named everybody else's Twitter accounts, but you didn't say
at Rick Nodgers for Nick.
For me, yeah.
So
kind of rude.
What he said. But anyway, I went through the NFL schedule since, here's the college football schedule, Army, Navy. It really doesn't take up a lot of time. It's not really segment worthy. Some NBA as well, as I also want to talk a little bit of Hot Stove, because I harp on the Hall of Fame so long. There were two interesting inductees named over the weekend, and I don't think I've mentioned Ted Simmons and Marvin Miller yet this week, so I would like to discuss that, if I have your guys' permission. But anyway, plus whatever you guys got up your sleeves, you could be clever and witty and contributors. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, which brings us to break time. Sports Talk is next, 95.3 The Score.
Hit the crack!